Christ is risen. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer with hymns and readings for Easter. And today in our service, we're going to be reflecting on those wonderful Easter hymns and the Easter appearances of our Lord in as he rose from the dead. We're going to be thinking about this all through our service of hymns and readings this morning. We'd like to say a special word of welcome to any who are visiting us. And if you're joining us online this morning, we're delighted to have you with us as we worship together. Just wanted to refresh people's memories that most of our weekly activities are starting back this week. And you'll see all the notices are on the screen on your way in. Wanted in particular to mention the annual business meeting of the church, the Easter General Vestry, which takes place this coming Tuesday at 7:30. That's in the church hall. And also to remind people of our services next Sunday, Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11 o'clock, and evening prayer at 7. Also going to invite at this point Andy to say a little word of introduction to a new group that's going to be starting on Wednesday evening at 7:30, and I'm going to ask Andy to say a little bit about that.
Good morning. This Bible here in front of me on the lectern here is very easy to navigate because all the chapters are numbered, all the verses are numbered, but when the Bible was originally put on paper and given out, that wasn't the case. And what we're doing on Wednesday night, starting this Wednesday at 7:30, is we're giving people who come along to our book club a copy of the New Testament with a lot of the chapters and verse numbers taken out, and it's just text. Just a chance to sit and read as if you were reading a novel or any other book. And we're calling it a book club. There will be Bible study that's going on. However, we're going to arrange it in a freer way so that people are free to ask questions or free to discuss whatever it is they want to discuss. And we're going to pace it depending on who turns up. So we are going to be reading from the New Testament, and we'll be giving folks a copy of the New Testament in a lovely format when you arrive. But how much of the book we read and how long we spend on each part, that's going to depend on you as you turn up and as we talk about it. So it will very much be fitted to meet the people who come. So everyone is welcome. We want to make it a space where new readers and seasoned readers can read the Bible alongside each other and get to know one another and get to know God's Word in a fresh way. So that is this Wednesday at 7:30. Our service this morning will be a service of Easter readings and Easter praise, and we'll begin on our service book. Our introduction will be on page 101 of our prayer book. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done, and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our collect prayer for today, the second Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth, through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at the first verse. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Here ends our first reading.
Let's stand and worship together in singing hymn number 283, The Day of Resurrection.
Thank you.
Our second reading comes from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? And do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Here ends the second reading. We continue in worship as we stand and sing together hymn number 253. During this hymn, our children and young people will leave for Sunday school. Our next hymn is "As We Walked Home."
Thank you.
Our third reading continues in the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name." To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Here ends our third reading.
Let's stand and sing together hymn number 260, "Christ is Alive."
Thank you.
Our fourth reading is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, and beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Here ends the fourth reading. And let's stand and sing together hymn number 293, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God."
Our fifth reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the 20th chapter, beginning at the 24th verse. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Here ends our fifth reading.
Our next hymn is found in the Purple Book's Thanks and Praise. It is hymn number 125, See What a Morning Gloriously Bright.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Just wanted to extend a warm invitation to tea and coffee after our service this morning. I forgot to do that when I was doing the announcements at the beginning. So tea and coffee are served after our service over in the church hall, and all are welcome. I had a really powerful conversation some time ago with a young person who spoke with me about the impact that her parents had had on her life. And knowing that they trusted her and believed in her had given her the confidence to do things that she would not have felt capable of doing in her own strength. And she spoke too with me about how those difficult experiences in life often make us rely more on God, because we know that we don't have it within ourselves to get through without his help. And it is a real gift, isn't it, to discover that there are people who believe in us even when we're not so sure about ourselves. And what a blessing it is to discover this from our parents, as this girl did. Or sometimes there will be a teacher or a grandparent or a sports coach or an organization leader who will instill these things in us. Because perhaps the greatest barrier for many of us in our lives is fear. We fear that we might fail. We fear that we will not be up to the task that is set before us. And we're afraid sometimes too of success, because we might then be asked to do something more. And we will eventually reach that point, we believe, where our abilities are found wanting. And it is exactly in that place where we meet Jesus' disciples in many of our readings this morning. We find them in a place of fear, of despair, and hopelessness. And having seen what had happened to Jesus, they met together in secret, behind locked doors, for fear of the Jews. It is lockdown in first century Palestine, and the enemy is not a deadly virus as we have been battling in our own times of lockdown, but it's rather that paralysis of total fear. And what a debilitating condition that is, to be trapped in fear. Who knows, in the case of the disciples, what would happen if they were to be seen in public? Perhaps they too might end up just as Jesus had, strung on a cross. And so we see the disciples retreating behind locked doors, closed off from the world, licking their wounds and their disappointment. And when you think about it, it must have been pretty awful to meet in this way, always fearing the footsteps on the stairs, the next knock on the door, reflecting on their own failures of the past week, thinking perhaps of the way that they had deserted Jesus in the garden and fled for their lives, leaving him to face that angry mob. And suddenly Jesus is there with them. And he looks at each one of them in turn, and he says, "Peace be with you." And it's a greeting of love, even though they have failed him. And then he shows them his hands and his side, so they can be in no doubt as to who he is. And it is incredibly moving, isn't it, that his scars can actually be their healing and their salvation, as he gives them a task. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And he breathes on them, empowering them with this life of God's Holy Spirit. And he tells them about the task that lies ahead. And the task that lies ahead is a task that's all to do with forgiveness and going out to the world to speak about his forgiveness and his love. And it's really quite mind-blowing if we think about what is going on here and we reflect on it even for the briefest of moments. Because if you are with us throughout the season of Lent and Holy Week, and as we particularly heard on Good Friday, how the disciples betrayed Jesus, how they fell asleep in his hour of need, how they fled when the going got tough. And you wonder as this crowd of men are before him, how could he trust them again after they had failed him so terribly? And how could he then speak to them with love and communicate this incredible message to them after all they had done to him? Because he's communicating an incredible message to them. What he's saying really is, I believe in you. I love you. And I trust you. And I'm sending you out into the world because I need you to help me with this vitally important work. And I think that it is here in this encounter with the risen Lord that we see something truly miraculous happening. And thank God it is a miracle that has been repeated many, many millions of times over the centuries. It is that miracle that happens when a person is transformed. When a person is transformed through discovering that they are unique and precious and valuable to God. And he needs them to help to bring his kingdom rule on the earth. And what's really powerful and really mysterious is that it's so often in the point of our weakness and our scars that God works most powerfully through us, through those wounds and difficult experiences, through those places of brokenness within us. God often connects us at those points to other people and says, I love you as you are in your brokenness. Now go out there and bring my love to others. And we often protest and say, sure, no one would listen to me. No one will understand. I can't speak in public. I'm too shy. I could never let other people know about my weakness. Or if they really knew how I thought or some of the things that I've done, they'd never want to know me. If you remember the account of the Apostle Thomas, you'll remember that he missed out the first time by taking himself away. Plunged into despair and grief, he took himself away from all the other disciples and he tried to process in his head what had happened on his own with the crucifixion of Jesus. And even when his colleagues told him about Jesus being alive, he refused to believe it until Jesus, a week later, graciously appeared to him and invited him to go right ahead. Put your finger in the scars. Put your hand into my side. And you know, we don't hear if Thomas did or he didn't. But what we do know is that he believed and all his doubts crumbled and they were replaced by a faith that sent him out into the world just like all the other disciples to convince the world that Jesus is alive, that he wants desperately to be with us, and that it's possible for everyone, even doubters like him, to believe and to find new life in his name. So while the world urges you and me to prove our worth, to prove our power, to prove our strength. Jesus calls you and I to something different. Jesus calls you and I to be a presence wherever he has placed us. A presence that is not ashamed of our wounds and our weaknesses. A presence that speaks courageously about his forgiveness and his love and how he believes, and he does believe, in those who do not believe in themselves. So may we be empowered by his Spirit for this wonderful task as we seek to do it together in his name, for his glory, in this community and to the world around us. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray for your church throughout the world today. And just like those first disciples, we recognize our points of weakness and failure. We feel overwhelmed and inadequate so often for the task that you've called us to make you known in a world that seems hostile or indifferent. We see all the scars of division and conflict, and the huge scale of disillusionment within society about the church and the world that we live in. We sometimes see our children and grandchildren rejecting the faith that is dear to us, and we wonder how best to respond. Thank you that in our weakness we discover your strength. In our brokenness, we find healing from your scars. And we ask that your Spirit might fall afresh on us and enable us to proclaim your love with integrity and courage to all those around us. Help us to build a community of care and hope that'll be a blessing to all who encounter us. And may your presence be real in all our worship and all our gatherings. Lord, in your mercy. We also want to pray this morning for the nations of the world. We pray for words of peace and hope to be spoken and to be acted upon in Ukraine and Russia and in the Sudan. And we pray for all those impossible situations in Afghanistan, in our own land. And we pray for the raising up of leaders and people who can build a new future. We pray around the world for ordinary followers of Jesus to model courage and transformation and to change broken societies and to offer new possibilities. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray for those recently bereaved, as we remember this morning Claire Stewart and her family on the sudden death of her brother earlier this week. We ask for your strength and comfort to surround them in their sorrow. And we also want to pray for all who live with serious illness and chronic pain. And we ask for your healing and grace for them and for their families. And in a quiet moment, let's bring before God any who are particularly on our minds or in our thoughts as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning in our time of praise and worship, and a time to focus on the good news of Easter. Let's bring our service to a close with a blessing prayer. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, raise you up to walk with him in the newness of his risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and evermore. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 288, Thine Be the Glory.